Welcome to Remedy and Rhyme, where the voices of poetry and plants entwine, offering nourishment for the spirit and a gentle return to the heart of nature. I'm your host, Kimberly Kling of Joyful Roots, clinical and community herbalist. I'm so glad you've joined me here to share in the stories, reflections, and simple ways these green allies can nurture our everyday lives. This podcast is for educational and inspirational purposes only. I'm not a medical doctor or a licensed health professional, and nothing shared here is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease. The information provided has not been evaluated by the FDA. Herbs are powerful allies, but not without personality. If you experience an allergic reaction or discomfort from any herb mentioned, please stop using it. Also, if you're taking medications, check with your doctor about potential herb-drug interactions. Most importantly, you and you alone are the steward of your own body. What you choose to consume, apply, or integrate is entirely up to you. This is about health empowerment. Listen with curiosity and always honor your own body's wisdom. These episodes are dropped the second Wednesday of every month, and to go along with this podcast, I have a Patreon community where you can join me to explore these plants deeper. Find that at patreon.com/joyfulroots. Welcome back. Today we're going underground, literally into the dark, the papery layers of one of the most ancient, humble, extraordinary plants on earth, the onion. But before we talk about what this plant gives us herbally, in its chemistry and in its history, I'd like to start, as we always do, with a poem. I wrote this poem thinking about what it means to truly let go, to be peeled down to the bone, to decay a little, to go into the dark and the quiet, and then be woken up again with love, the real type of love, the kind that isn't soft and polished, but more earthy and fierce and deeply knowing. This poem is called Skins, and it's written by me, Kimberly Kling. It's time to lose my mind in madness, strip away every ounce of judgment, every fox skin adorned from the outside world, soft and alluring, seems so real, yet disguises my soul each day. I'll peel off the policing of my body and thoughts, murmuring words of not good enough, not pretty enough, not rich enough, not sane enough. Enough! I'll break into fragments of worlds, tumbling round and round with no anchor, coming apart until everything I know is lost. Let only my bones remain. Bring me so close to death I can taste the putrid fumes encasing my skeleton, purging all the world has poisoned within me. I'll slip into slumber, between worlds for a while. Then come and wake me up with love, press it firmly against my bones, and build layers upon layers of new skin, silken like butterfly wings. Breathe the life into my pores, blowing gentle whispers, weaving their way across each empty space, rebirthing loyalty to truth. The kind of truth the earth knows. Clay and mud, wind and rain, mountain and valley, forest and swamp, raven and crane, snake and salamander, petal and fruit, and on and on and on. I want every cell of my body to know how truth like that feels. This poem feels deeply personal to me, but also there's these threads of ancientness that I felt very called to pull through, and I feel like it's a story that we can all feel deep within us. The image of shedding skins, that fox skin, the beautiful seductive armor we wear to seem acceptable, or desirable, or safe, it speaks to something I think that so many of us know intimately. We construct these versions of ourselves, these smooth, presentable, acceptable versions of ourselves, and we wear them so long we forget what's underneath sometimes, because that's also what the onion does. Alchemists and mystics and poets across time have described this dissolution and descent in different ways, going into the dark not as defeat, but as a necessary passage, a rite of honor, an initiation. In alchemy, they call it negredo, the blackening, the composting of the old self, not destruction for its own sake, but the kind of destruction that is really a preparation, like the soil being turned. And then the waking up with love, not necessarily the romantic love in the soft, comfortable sense. This is the love the earth knows, the clay and the mud, the wind and the rain, the snake and the salamander. It's the love that doesn't ask you to be palatable. It's earthy, it's tangible, it can be really gritty sometimes, but it's also real. It's the love that builds you back up layer by layer from the bones out. And that brings me, of course, to the onion, because that's kind of what the onion does. It peels layer by layer. It's earthy, it's sulfuric, it's pungent. It gets into your eyes whether you want it to or not, and it even brings us to tears. But it's something that is so deeply part of human culture, it almost feels like love in a sense. When I think of onions, when I smell that fresh picked onion from the garden, it makes me feel like I'm heading straight into the heart of the earth. It's an ancestral remembrance that wells up inside, sort of from that sulfuric scent. And if you think about what an onion actually is, it isn't a root in its true sense, it's a bulb. It's layers of tightly packed leaves wound concentrically around a central bud. Each layer is a whole world in and of itself. You peel one back and there's another and another until you reach the very center, the tender, almost translucent core. And the onion can really make you cry. It's not incidental, I don't think at least, that the onion's tears are chemistry. Sulfur compounds that volatilize when the cells are broken, they are the plant's defense system. It's like a type of truth. You can't cut into an onion and remain unmoved. It insists on your tears. In Persian Sufi poetic tradition, in Rumi, in Hafiz, the onion and the peel appear again and again as metaphors for the soul and its uncoverings. The Sufi tradition spoke of layers of the nafs, the ego self, that had to be worked through, peeled back, before the divine could be encountered. Many mystical traditions across the world hold the onion as sacred, not in spite of its pungency and tears, but because of them. It grows underground, in the dark. It doesn't need much. It spends months curled in the earth, dormant and patient. And then when the warmth and the light come, it stretches upward with extraordinary force. The onion doesn't need anybody's permission to know what it is. It just is, layer upon layer, built from the inside out. And when the season comes, when the conditions are right, it rises towards the light. I think about the line in the poem, "Build layers upon layers of new skin," and I wonder if the onion isn't showing us that this is how we are made and remade, not all at once, not in a flash of dramatic revelation, but layer by layer, day by day, in the dark, in the grit, and then stretching for light. Now let's talk about how the onion relates to the body and what it does in the body, because the onion's not just merely metaphor. It's one of the most quietly powerful plants we know, and so often overlooked for this power. Most of us just have it sitting in a bowl in our kitchen counter right now. I love this plant as an herb because it's so accessible to nearly everyone. Onion, called Allium sepa in Latin, has been used medicinally for at least 5,000 years. It features in ancient Egyptian records, in Ayurvedic texts, in the writings of Hippocrates, in medieval European herbalism, and more. For most of human history, it has been considered one of the most essential plants in the healer's garden. In Unani medicine, the onion was used for respiratory complaints, digestive weakness, and as a drawing agent for infections. It's been placed as a poultice directly on wounds and abscesses. And this wasn't some sort of superstition. It was something that came about through observation and relationship to this plant, and modern research is beginning to show us why it works. What makes the onion so herbally powerful is largely the same chemistry that makes you cry, sulfur-containing compounds. particularly quercetin, thiosulfonates, and allicin-like molecules, are what give the onion most of its therapeutic action. Quercetin is most abundant in the outer layers of the onion. It's one of the most studied flavonoids in plant medicine. It's a potent antioxidant and anti-inflammatory. It has an affinity for the respiratory system and the immune system in particular. The sulfur compounds, when the onion is cut or crushed, convert and become powerfully antimicrobial. These can be effective against a wide range of bacteria and fungi. This is likely why placing a cut onion in a sick room was an old folk practice with more than folk wisdom behind it. In fact, I've seen this work many, many times in my own household. Onions near the bed and onions in the socks. The onion has a deep and ancient relationship with the lungs. In traditional European herbalism, raw onion syrup made by layering sliced onion with honey or sugar and letting it steep was the go-to remedy for coughs, bronchitis, and childhood chest infections. The sulfur compounds are expectorant in nature. They thin mucus, encourage the lungs to clear, and reduce the stickiness that lets infection settle in. Quercetin also acts as a natural antihistamine, reducing the inflammatory response that drives so much respiratory distress. So here's a simple onion remedy. Slice a red, yellow, or white onion, layer generously with raw honey, and then cover it and leave it overnight. The resulting syrup is sweet, pungent, and genuinely effective for acute coughs. Take a teaspoon here or there as needed. In our home, we have quite the experience with onions, as they are often a go-to when there's some sort of gnarly respiratory thing going around. It's amazing to me that such a humble plant seen in almost every grocery store holds such amazing power. My husband has a tendency to chew on them raw and inhale the fumes into his lungs anytime he gets what we call the gook. But for those of us that are a bit more faint of heart, like myself, I prefer the onion syrup or an onion poultice. Or even slightly cooked onions, I can sometimes stomach those. Quercetin has also been extensively studied for its effects on the cardiovascular system, and research suggests that it helps reduce blood pressure, has some mild blood thinning properties, and supports healthy cholesterol levels. So the onion is considered a cardiotonic herb. It's warming, circulating, and supportive of the heart over time. There's something really beautiful in this, that this plant that makes you weep is one of the heart's greatest friends. Raw onions' antimicrobial properties are pretty well documented. Both the juice and the volatile compounds are effective against a range of pathogens. Folk wisdom across many cultures uses onion poultices on infected wounds and ear infections. When you don't have access to anything else, a warm, slightly roasted onion applied to the ear can do remarkable things for an aching ear. The heat and the compounds both work together. Quercetin is also antiviral in its action, particularly studied for its effect on respiratory viruses. It competes with viruses at the cell receptor level, making it harder for them to gain entry. Quercetin also has a pretty remarkable relationship with our mast cells, the immune cells that are responsible for releasing histamine and other mediators when the body encounters an allergen. Rather than simply blocking histamine once it's already been released, as conventional antihistamines do, quercetin works a little bit further upstream, helping to stabilize the mast cells itself and preventing histamine release from happening in the first place. For anyone who struggles with seasonal allergies, histamine intolerance, or reactive airways, this is one of the most compelling reasons to make onion a consistent part of the diet. Not as a quick fix or a cure-all, but just as a slow and steady act of support for the immune system over time. Interestingly, there have been times in my life where I've been head-on in an allergy flare, and all I want to do is eat a big bowl of sautéed onions. Strange, maybe, but helpful. Onions also have some pretty great aspects that make it supportive for the digestive system. They're rich in inulin, a prebiotic fiber that feeds the beneficial bacteria in your gut. And regular consumption of raw or lightly cooked onion supports a healthy microbiome, which in turn supports immune function, mood, and the entire terrain of the body. In herbalism, onion is used for sluggish digestion, flatulence — it can cause it, but it can also resolve it depending how you work with it — and as a gentle liver tonic. The slight bitters in the onion help to stimulate bile production and encourage the liver's processing work. So if you'd like to bring in onion as an ally, the raw form of onion is the most potent. Cooking destroys some of the volatile compounds, though it preserves a lot of the quercetin. If you're using onion therapeutically, try to include some raw if you can tolerate it. You might add it to salads, salsas, or simply sliced with a little apple cider vinegar and salt. I personally cannot tolerate raw onions very well. However, if I first mix them in with salt and vinegar or salt and lemon juice first and then let it sit for about 10 minutes before consuming, it seems to cut back a lot on the sulfuric aspect and is easier for me to tolerate. Maybe try that if you're a bit sensitive. So as a quick overview, here's a few ways that you may want to work with onion as an ally. You could make an onion honey syrup for coughs and respiratory conditions. You could make an onion poultice for earaches, for drawing out other infections, for splinters. You could maybe use raw onion in your diet for cardiovascular benefits and immune support, or even cooked if that's what you like best. You'll still get the quercetin. And then red onion skin tea is an interesting little twist. It's quercetin rich, anti-inflammatory, and simple to make. And you could always even add the red onion skins into broth if you make broth from scratch. The skin of the red onion, which we almost always discard, contains the highest concentration of quercetin in the entire plant. But I think that all of the ways that the onion can help our body are not the only gifts that the onion gives to us. It's not just the quercetin or the sulfur compounds and all of the other components that physically act on our body. It's also in the way that it teaches us about how transformation works, that it's not a fast process, it's not always comfortable, and it's not always clean, but it's really, truly real. It's the kind of truth that the earth knows. So let's finish this episode with some closing questions that will help you tie back the power of the onion into your own life. If you join me on Patreon in my Healthy Soil tier, you'll also receive a printable version of these journal questions. So the first question I'd like to ask, and maybe you would like to reflect on, is: the onion spends months in the dark before it rises. What are you quietly growing in your own darkness right now? What layers, skins, or roles have you constructed for the outside world that no longer feel true to you? If love were to build you back up layer by layer from the bones, what would you want the first layer to be? And finally, what does love feel like when it's real and unpolished? The clay and mud kind of love. Have you ever experienced it from a person, a place, an animal, or a season? Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Remedy and Rhyme. I hope to see you again next month. I am so excited to keep sharing the wisdom of plants and poetry with all of you. If you enjoy this journey and would like to help support this podcast, whether energetically, financially, or just by sharing it with a friend, I would be so grateful. Your support helps to keep this space alive, allows me to continue exploring new herbs, crafting new episodes, and sharing inspiration with you. One of the easiest ways to support this podcast is to rate and review it in your favorite podcast app. You can also join our Remedy and Rhyme Patreon page, which is available at patreon.com/joyfulroots. You'll find all sorts of goodies there, including plant stories, recipes, and more. There is a free membership, but if you are able to help support the podcast, there are some great perks with the paid memberships. And also, I have a shop on Patreon where you can easily purchase educational material like a class or a zine and further your own herbal knowledge. Another way that you can support the podcast is by getting yourself some of the most amazing matcha on the planet. It's Posana Matcha. It's certified organic, third-party tested to ensure that it's free of heavy metals, pure, safe, and absolutely delicious. This is the matcha that I always turn to because I know it's the highest quality and I just love it so much. So I'm excited that I can offer everybody that listens to this podcast 15% off if you use the coupon code JOYFULROOTS. You can find the link in the show notes or head to posana.net, that's posana.net, and use the coupon code JOYFULROOTS at checkout. Although I love sharing my poetry with you, I really would love to make this a community collaborative effort. So don't be shy. Feel free to send some poetry in my way. And I'm going to keep a running list of plants that I'd like to talk about in the future. You can find that list on my website at joyfulroots.com/plantpoems. That's PLANTPOEMS. Thank you to Akun Baradine for their music Bedtime After Coffee, which was in the intro and outro, and also to Lights by Sakura Girl, and Asher Fulero for Exploring the Crystal Caves, which was the music you heard in the middle of the podcast. And thank you so much to the plants, number one, the greatest of all herbal teachers, to all of the herbalists that I've learned from. There's just too many to name. And for all of my family and friends for supporting me on this podcast journey. And to all of my amazing patrons and customers and clients, this really wouldn't be possible without you. So thank you again.